My esteemed co-host, Pat Rooney Jr., now joins me on the phone live from Orlando, Florida. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Russ, from rainy Orlando.
That's right. It is rainy. That's why they're going off of threesomes off of split tees today, 1 and 10 at Bay Hill, hoping they can get that final round in. Tigers look pretty good through three rounds of play, and, you know, I kind of like him today, Pat. We're going to get to our fearless predictions later on in the show, but he's five shots back of Sean O'Hare. I find it somewhat ironic that those two guys were paired in the final round last year at Bay Hill, and Tiger made that, you know, unbelievable putt at 18 to win it, and now, again today, they find themselves in that final threesome along with Zach Johnson.
I think the key, Russ, you know, this is going to sound shocking, but I think the key is going to be those last three holes. Tigers played 16, 17, and 18 four over, and Sean O'Hare's played them one over. So I think whoever comes to those last three holes with a little bit of a cushion, say two shots, I think is going to end up winning the thing.
Yeah, yesterday both O'Hare and Woods kind of lipping to the finish line. O'Hare bogeyed three of his last four holes. He had it at one point to 10 under par and then, you know, ends up coming home at minus seven. And then Tiger bogeying two of the last three. And that bogey at 18, if there's a good bogey, that was it. Making a 25-footer for bogey after putting his second shot in the hazard. Couldn't find it after 5 minutes and had to go back and drop and hit his fourth. But he gets up and down from 140 yards for bogey.
He's got some magic at that 18th, Russ.
That's absolutely. Last year we saw him throwing that hat. I mean, that's one of the most unbelievable putts I think we've ever seen from Tiger. You know, the laundry list of great putts from Tiger is like as long as my arms and legs combined. But, you know, at the top of that list, perhaps, is that 25-footer last year where when the ball just drops into the hole, he throws his hat down on the green, and Bart Bryant's in the scorer's tent saying, I knew he was going to make it. And, you know, obviously last year at Torrey Pines, it's hard to beat that putt he made at 18 on Sunday to get into that Monday playoff with Rocco Mediate. But that putt at the Arnold Palmer, very few better than that one.
I agree with you on that because, you know, I don't know the putt as well at Torrey Pines, but I played Bay Hill a few times. And that putt, that's just a very hard green to read. It's hard to get the speed, let alone the break. And a lot of guys will tell you that putt was just, for that thing to go in, just shocking. But coming from him, though, like I've said a lot of times, nothing surprises me from him. So I'm not surprised that he did it, but I am surprised that somebody was able to read that putt under those conditions and make it. So wouldn't surprise me at all. If it comes down, the only thing I'm saying is if Sean O'Hare probably needs a two-shot lead coming into 18 because something wacky will happen on 18 with Tiger if they're tied or whatever. So I think Sean O'Hare needs to have some kind of a cushion going into 18.
Yeah, good point, Pat. So Tiger basically has 17 holes today to make up four shots, and if he goes to 18, you know, within one or two, I kind of like Tiger's chances. And again, we'll get to our Palm Beach Kennel Club fearless predictions during the final segment of today's show. But right now, Pat, you and I, as we do each and every week here on the program, going to go inside the ropes.
For a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week, let's go inside the ropes.
It is the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week here on Golf Exchange, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you by our very good friends at PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number one, Patrick, the PGA Tour is going to use the Houston Open next week as a testing ground for placing microphones on caddies in order to pick up their conversations with players. Seems like a good idea in terms of gaining insight into strategy discussions, but surely the poobahs of the tube realize not all the on-course chatter has to do with golf, and there might need to be a seven-second delay. Pat, good idea, miking up caddies.
App for me and you, Russ, absolutely. I want to hear what these guys have to say, not just about golf. I want to hear their comments about other things, but therein lies, I think, the bigger problem. You know, you talk about the seven-second delay, and I think, you know, that would have to be employed here. You know, not that these guys are cursing or anything like that, but of course they might say something that, you know, that might not want to be aired. So I think from that perspective, you know, I think it's a great idea, you know, when you're especially talking strategy and things like that. I remember a few years ago at the PGA Championship and Justin Leonard was coming down the stretch at Whistling Straits and, you know, was sort of battling with his caddy about a 4 or 5 iron into the last hole and took a 4 iron, I think, and hit it over the green and ended up, you know, losing that championship. That would have been great theater to find out, you know, were those guys like really arguing about things or was it, you know, just kind of a level-headed conversation and then, you know, how you ultimately got to the pick of one club over the other. I think the problem here, though, Russ, is, and one of the guys mentioned this, in the article I read about this possibility, is that they're worried about the overall, like, 4 or 5 hours, the downtime, you know, when they're just talking about somebody in the gallery or another player.
Right, exactly.
And worried about having that come to light. And I think that is where the problem ultimately will lie. If one of these guys says something derogatory about another player or something,
it's
and then that
get
becomes
out.
A story,
it's gonna
then
get
I don't
out,
think
you know.
These guys want to do it.
Exactly, Pat. If they say something derogatory about a player or a player's wife, perhaps, or something like that, I mean, it's going to get out. If you're recording on it, yeah, it might not make the air, but a writer's probably going to get a hold of that comment and probably print it, because we know, you know, writers, you know, they take advantage of information like that. My biggest problem with this is that I kind of like the system we have now. We've got a bunch of television guys out on the course with those parabolic audio devices that, you know, it's the big plastic, you know, semicircle that has the antenna in the middle. And if you point that at a player, even if you're 15, 20, 25 yards away, they can pick up the conversation. So I think taking that a step further and miking the caddies, I think you're going to lose that element of true spur-of-the-moment conversation and eavesdropping, because I think, you know, even though they might forget it from time to time, for the most part, caddies are going to know they're mic'd up, so I don't think all of their comments are going to be truly, truly spur-of-the-moment. I think some of them might be a little rehearsed because they know they're going to be on air.
I completely agree with you, Russ. So I think it's a good idea, but I'd like to see it, you know, down the line a little bit and see how these guys act. And so it's like you said, you don't want to get stuff that's staged or you know, where they know that what they're going to say is...
They know somebody's listening.
Exactly.
Okay, good thing Colin's listening to play the sounder. Topic number two in our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. John Daly, the much maligned pro golfer, is again in the news. Dateline Jacksonville, Florida. Pro golfer John Daly claimed a Florida newspaper libeled him in a column suggesting he failed to, quote, pass the scoundrel sniff test, end quote, but a judge disagreed. Duval County Circuit Judge Hugh Carruthers dismissed Daly's libel lawsuit on Monday, granting that the Florida Times Union request for a summary judgment. He ruled that the former columnist Mike Freeman's statements were either true or constitutionally protected opinion. Freeman's column said, quote, how does Daly not fail the scoundrel sniff test with fans despite possessing definite thug-life qualifications? Look at the Daly blog. Domestic violence accusations? Yep. Substance abuse issues? Yep. Unfortunately, three different kids from three different moms, making him the Sean Kemp of golf. End quote. Pat, your thoughts?
Well, from a legal perspective, Russ, this is a slam dunk. I mean, he's suing basically on this guy calling him, I guess, either a scoundrel or essentially equating him with being a thug. And while those are not, you know, great things to be associated with, unfortunately for John Daly, he is a public figure. I mean, the guy's won two majors. He's in the news a lot, and that qualifies him as a public figure. So for him to be able to prove that somebody defamed him, it's much tougher than just if you or I, who are not really public figures.
Oh, come on, Pat. You're a public figure.
We like to think we are.
You're the mayor of West Palm Beach.
Well, other than that. But, you know, Daly's a much brighter star than me or you. So it's tougher for him to prove defamation. The basic bedrock defense for defamation, Russ, is just truth. So if what this guy was saying is truthful or opinion, then, you know, or basically an opinion about a public figure, then he's pretty much got a solid defense. And clearly, in this instance, what he was saying is true. I mean, you know, Daly does have domestic violence accusation. He's got substance abuse issues. You know, his wife was, one of his wives was accused or indicted
selling
for laundering illegal drugs.
Yeah.
So all that stuff is there. So that, you know, it's truth. So while it might not be great that somebody's associating John with being a scoundrel or a thug, it's not defamatory towards him. So I'm not surprised from a legal aspect that this thing got thrown out. And I'm not even surprised from sort of a public opinion aspect that John's not as popular, and maybe some kind of a popular opinion thing would have said, you know, would have drove the judge to think, you know what, I'm going to fine for Daly because he's a great guy. Unfortunately, he's just, I think we've talked about this multiple times. He went from being one of our heroes to really being a guy who I don't think either one of us could be more disappointed in. Just, you know, at some point, the partying and all that stuff, if you can somehow overcome that and be a great player, then maybe, you know, maybe it's not as bad. You know, we don't look at things as badly. But John, unfortunately, he's becoming a bad guy, and he's not playing well. So there's nothing really to root for anymore. And it's a shame his life has taken this turn, and he's getting really too old to do anything about it, I think.
Pat, I couldn't agree with you more, and you said it. I used to be a huge fan of John Daly. We both were. Back in the day when he won the 91 PGA at Crooked Stick and the 95 British Open at St. Andrews, I mean, he was larger than life, no pun intended. I mean, he was such a fun guy to watch. He played by the seat of his pants. He took a bunch of chances. He was a great guy, and he was fun for the game, but... You know, little by little over the years, these details from his personal life have leaked out, and he is a train wreck. He is a train wreck in his personal life. And listen, this columnist from the Florida Times Union, if the worst thing that he was saying about John Daly is that he's the Sean Kemp of golf, I mean, can you imagine what if columnists said over the years about O.J. Simpson, or nowadays with A-Rod and all the crap that's going on in Alex Rodriguez's life, or Kobe Bryant back a couple years ago when he had those rape allegations? I mean, you know, there's many more athletes in this world that are having much worse things written about them, and you know, we don't see libel suits all the time, libel lawsuits. I mean, John Daly has become the guy. He is the guy who sues for everything. That's what another thing that's ticking me off about him. He had that lawsuit a couple years ago from regarding the Honda Classic and the fan that took a picture of him with the camera, and he, you know, wrenched his rib, and maybe it's Sean that you're 50 pounds overweight. That's the reason you're getting hurt. Maybe it's not, you know, fans clicking cameras in your backswing. Anyway. Nope.
I hate to say, Russ, I think John needs the money, and that's why he's
well, of course he does. Yeah, that's obvious. And that's, yeah, you're right, Pat. You're exactly right. That's why he's become the guy that's suing for any reason.